This is Audible.
This is God of Fury, Legacy of Gods, Book 5. Written by Rena Kent. Narrated by Shane East, Teddy Hamilton, Mackenzie Cartwright, and Zara Hampton Brown. 1. Brandon. What am I doing here? Deep in the hollow corner of my heart, I know the answer. I know it so well that I can taste the nausea that slithered down my throat and hooked onto my bones the moment I got that godforsaken text. A text I should have very well ignored, deleted, and then blocked the number. A text I shouldn't have dignified with a look, let alone given it enough weight to intervene with my decision-making. I did. And that's the reason I'm here. I did. And now I've put myself in an irreversible position. I did. And I'm not sure I can shove this lapse of judgment onto the possibility of having no choice. In reality, I do. I've just never been good with choices. Don't appreciate them, don't care for them, would rather not be presented with one. The text was an obligation, or, more accurately, a pertinent piece of information. It was not a choice, and certainly not a situation I could have escaped. The reason I'm here is solely due to my sense of responsibility that I've carried like excess baggage since I started learning what life is all about. I'm at what looks like an indoctrination center. Other students stand on either side of me, forming parallel lines and wearing white rabbit masks that cover their features. We're facing a huge three-story mansion with old-looking stone walls and an ancient tower on the far right. The longer I remain unmoving, the more unsteady my breathing becomes. My inhales and exhales flow in a fast, fractured rhythm, forming condensation on the plastic and forcing me to breathe my own air. Tick. The sound is low, but it slams into my brain like a fatal crash. My mouth starts to fill with saliva, and I gulp it down, forcing my stomach to settle. Tick. I lift my hand, about to pull at my skull. Sometimes I wish I could smash it against the nearest wall and watch as everything spills and shatters, once and for fucking all. Tick. My fingers curl in midair, but I lower my hand and force it to hang limp at my side. It's fine. I can do this. Breathe. You're in control. My soothing words of affirmation splinter and crack as the scene around me comes back into focus. No matter how much I attempt to delude myself, the reality is that I'm in the last place I should be, and I'm not one to challenge fate or go places I'm not supposed to. In my 23 years of life, I've always been the type of man who follows the rules. I've never deviated from what's expected of me, and I'm creeped out at the notion of being different, in any sense, for whatever reason. And yet here I am, at the heathen's mansion because I received a text and made the conscious decision not to ignore it. I made the decision to attend the initiation of the most notorious club on Brighton Island, a secluded place near the UK's southwest coast. For a university I'm not even enrolled in. The heathens are the leading club of the King's U College, a uni that reeks of mafia money and La Nouveau Bourgeoisie, where all American students flock like birds of a feather. We have our own malicious club at Royal Elite University, or REU, where I'm working on my master's degree in art. It's called The Elites, and is led by none other than my headache of a twin brother, Landon. However, the King's U clubs, the heathens and the serpents, are much more nefarious, since they come from real mafia families and are using the uni experience to sharpen their fangs for the leading roles awaiting them back in the States. If a week ago someone had told me I'd be standing here wearing a creepy rabbit mask and waiting for the entitled, violence-thirsty Americans to make their appearance, I would have laughed. I'm certainly not laughing now. A lot of variables have changed in the span of a week, and I find myself under the obligation to be here, as part of the herd, and it has everything to do with that headache of a brother I mentioned earlier. Though they took my phone at the entrance, I can still recall the text I received yesterday word for word.
Heathens. Congratulations, you are invited to the Heathens Initiation Ceremony. Please show the attached QR code upon arrival at the club's compound at 4 p.m. sharp.
While I'd heard of their nefarious initiations, I had absolutely no interest in them or the clubs. If I did, I would have joined the elite since Lan has been asking for years. So I ignored that text and was about to block the number. Then I got another one. Unknown number. If you want to see your twin brother breathing instead of being shoved in a casket and showcased to all participants, be at the initiation. That's the reason I came here. Even though every fiber of my being revolted against the idea of taking part in this madness. I called and texted Lan, but he didn't reply, so I had to save him from himself as usual. My brother has always been the reason I've deviated from the core of my existence, though he'd argue this is my true character, and what I consider normal is a product of repressing, hiding, shackling my real self. A sudden movement comes from my side, and I tighten my muscles, ready to run away, move from the center of danger, and pretend none of this has taken place. The girl beside me, judging by her breasts and frame, laughs as she hits her companion's shoulder. A general murmur of excitement bubbles in the air. I don't understand people's obsession with these types of events. Is it the feeling of grandiosity? The opportunity to walk amongst gods? But then again, it's impossible for me to understand some people due to how drastically different my personality is compared to the rest of my peers. Don't get me wrong. I get along with almost everyone, and I'm often described as extremely polite and a good sport. But my close friends are only a few. The only reason we're tight is because we grew up together, and I spent several years familiarizing myself with their personalities. Maybe my inability to form close connections after my childhood is due to being completely detached from most people's source of happiness. A glaring example is my complete bafflement at these people's sense of a thrill. They talk about the heathens as if they're the personification of everything they aspire to be. Wealth, influence, and, most importantly, morbid power. I, Brandon King, belong to one of the most influential families in the UK, if not the most influential. But I still don't get people's obsession with selected elites. Is it the illusion? The unknown? Something entirely different? The girl's chatter comes to a halt, and she looks up as everyone else grows silent. I follow her field of vision and pause when the balcony doors on the second floor open and five men stroll outside. All of them wearing neon stitch, Halloween-esque masks. The one in the middle has an orange mask and carries a metal club. He's tall and broad, but the guy by his side who's wearing a yellow mask is taller and buffer, and he reeks of hostility, even from this distance. He stands out because he's the only one without a weapon, but he still emanates a nefarious energy. The rest of them, however, seem to have their thoughts and tempers under control. Red Mask's fingers wrap around a bat, letting it rest nonchalantly on his shoulder. A recurve bow is nestled in Green Mask's hand, and there's a quiver attached to his back, and White Mask strokes a heavy-looking chain that's hanging around his neck. They're all dressed in black t-shirts and trousers, like a conformist unit of destruction. Fortunately, I've never crossed the heathen's paths or interacted with them, which can't be said about my prick of a brother. Is he with them? Perhaps he's playing a sick game to be part of their inner circle. Or is he maybe somewhere in front of me, or behind me, maybe next to me? The problem is, I can never imagine Lan being a participant in another group's glory, or a mere follower in someone else's mayhem. He's too narcissistic for that. Besides, how could he possibly get an invitation? The same way I got invited? Probably. Maybe. I watch the five heathens closely, The one in orange, standing tall in the middle, is most likely Jeremy Volkov, the leader of the heathens and a Russian mafia prince. If my friend's gossip can be trusted, he's ruthless to a fault and is rumored to kill everyone in his wake. Green and red masks are possibly Gareth and Killian Carson. The siblings are affiliated with the mafia, but are more American royalty instead of mafia princes. However, I'm not sure which is which. White Mask seems like the leanest of the bunch, so he can't be any of the three previously mentioned. Yellow Mask can only be Nikolai Sokolov, another Russian mafia prince, Killian and Gareth's cousin, and the craziest twat who ever walked the earth. If rumors are anything to go by, and in Nikolai's case, they probably are, he's capable of punching someone to death just because they had the audacity to piss him off. I've only stood close to him once, a week ago when, again, my twin brother was fighting him in an underground fight club. I honest to God thought he'd pummel Lan to death. He didn't, because my brother is a cat with nine lives. My concern about Lan shifted to disturbing unease when Nikolai looked at me with a manic expression while wearing my brother's blood on his bandaged hands. I had this inherent need to get the hell out of there, and I did, after dragging my brother along, of course. I've never gotten that feeling from someone younger than me, and Nikolai is way younger. 19, I think. A kid right out of secondary school, high school for Americans. Only he looks nothing like a kid. Even now, while wearing black clothes, his build stands out as if he's sculpted from pure muscle and malicious intent. Good thing I don't run in these people's circle and never will. Today is an exception. The sooner I locate Lan, the faster I can leave this immoral place. Static rings in the air before a distorted voice speaks from all around us.
Congratulations on making it to the Heathen's highly competitive initiation. You are the selected elite the leaders of the club think are worthy of joining their world of power and connections. The price to pay for such privileges is higher than money, status, or name. The reason everyone wears a mask is because you are all the same in the eyes of the club's founders. The price of becoming a heathen is handing over your life, in the literal sense of the word. If you aren't willing to pay that, please exit through the small door to your left. Once you leave, you'll lose any chance to join us again.
A door beside the big gate opens, and about a dozen or less people exit. I contemplate joining them and putting an end to this madness, but I'd never, in good conscience, abandon my brother. Never. The distorted voice returns.
Congratulations again, ladies and gentlemen. We shall now begin our initiation.
I lift my head to the five heathens, who remain unmoving. Completely grounded, absolutely apathetic about the promise of violence they're unleashing on the world. All except for one. The anomaly. Violence on steroids. Yellow Mask clenches and unclenches his fists at a rhythmic pace as if he's performing a ritual. That guy needs to be locked up, instead of being allowed to be part of this nonsensical initiation.
Tonight's game is Predator and Prey. You'll be hunted down by the club's founding members. That will be 5 to 90, so you have the upper hand. If you manage to reach the edge of the property before they hunt you down, you'll be a heathen. If not, you'll be eliminated and escorted out. The founding members have the right to use any methods available to hunt you down, including violence. If their weapon of choice touches you, you'll be automatically eliminated. Bodily harm can and will happen. You are also allowed to inflict violence on the founding members, if you can. The only rule is not taking a life. Not intentionally, at least. No questions are allowed, and no mercy shall be granted. We don't want any weaklings in our ranks.
Barbarians, the lot of them. Hopeless, outrageous savages with no grace whatsoever. But then again, what to expect from mafia people?
You have a 10-minute head start. I suggest you run. The initiation has officially begun.
The girl beside me and her companion sprint so fast, the pebbles crunch beneath their trainers. Everyone else rushes in the direction of the forest, and I'm left with the option of following or remaining here like easy prey. Cursing under my breath, I run as fast as possible. My heart rate remains the same, unperturbed, calm, and completely unaffected by the lick of danger and the lust for the thrill that hangs in the air like splashes of magenta or turquoise blue. I guess that's the upside of having an abnormal brain. This type of nonsense doesn't affect it. Despite going late, I managed to run faster and farther than the other participants. I might not be into these types of events, but I'm an athlete, pretty much a professional runner, and also the captain of the lacrosse team at REU. I take my physical activities seriously and never miss a day of training and running, whether for the team or for myself. It's important to keep order and discipline, and I'm nothing short of perfection in creating stability and habits. Besides, if I don't maintain a routine, I'll only slither down that rabbit hole of nothingness and eventually skid into an unfortunate freak accident. No thanks. In no time, I manage to reach what looks like the middle of the forest after losing the rest of the students. Late afternoon light casts ominous patches of orange on the dirt and between the huge trees. But soon enough, the gray clouds strangle the beams of hope and swallow them into darkness. I crouch behind a large bush that covers my entire frame and wait. That's all I can do at this point. Stay low, wait, observe, and never, ever draw attention to my presence. An activity I excel at. If Lan shows up, whether as one of the heathens, which is highly unlikely, or one of the participants, I'll get a gut feeling thanks to the useless twin hunch. A few people run by like a pack of wolves, squeals of excitement falling from their lips and painting the sky in blotches of brick red on midnight black. The stench of mindless violence lingers in the air and forms sinister halos around the participants' heads. Their thrill is short-lived, though. Orange Mask stalks right after them, carrying his vicious club. I silently cringe when he hits one of them so hard their face swings to the side and blood explodes on his mask, which cracks in two. I catch a glimpse of someone walking around dazed, with an arrow stuck in his shoulder and a limp arm glued to his side. Eliminated students' numbers are announced by that disturbing robotic voice, sometimes one after the other. I think the process is automatic, because whenever I catch a glimpse of someone getting hit by an arrow or Orange Mask's club, the number is immediately announced. Throughout the whole freak show, I don't move, and when I do, it's only to adjust my position. Where are you, Lan? While I take pride in my stamina, I probably can't keep this up for an extended period of time. Maybe I should strategically move to another nook of this extravagant forest in case my brother is on the other side. A sudden chill scrapes the back of my neck, followed by scorching hot heat as a deep, rumbling voice whispers in my ear.
Why aren't you running?
My senses saturate in a rush of overwhelming external stimuli, and my brain is unable to keep up with the overload. I lose balance and fall on my arse, hitting the ground with an impact that reverberates in my bones. I stare up, my eyes clashing with the yellow stitch mask that's marred with splashes of dark red. Blood. It's everywhere, clinging to his mask, staining his dark shirt, forming rivulets on his neck, covering the tattoos on the backs of his hands like gloves, and sticking to strands of his jet black hair that falls in waves to his shoulder blades. Nausea floods my mouth and shoots straight to my fucked up brain. Tick. 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 Tick.
You didn't answer the question.
Yellow Mask's gruff tone ripples down my throat and drowns the nausea, only to substitute it with dread. Harsh and poignant. What's worse is that I can't breathe. The wanker is crouching close, so close that my nostrils fill with the metallic stench of blood and the smell of cigarettes, alcohol, and a hint of mint and bergamot. The overwhelming mixture flows and floods my senses, like a chaotic swirl of colors that blend and throttle each pigment until they settle on unassuming gray. Faultless, timeless, empty. Yellow Mask, who can only be Nikolai, pokes my forehead with a bloody finger. And although he's only touching the mask and not my skin, my stomach cramps, choking out rampant nausea that's ready to lurch forward and leave me heaving.
Oi, you listening?
He's only using a forefinger, yet so much power emanates off the single action that I crack under the pressure. I've never been good with direct confrontations and prefer not to engage in them. Besides, if what I've heard of his infamous reputation is true, I could never take on Nikolai Sokolov, even if I were reincarnated a few times in the spirit of a warrior. He's notorious for his savage behavior, unhinged tendencies, and penchant for breathing violence instead of oxygen. The evidence is splattered in red all over his person. Definitely the last person I'd want to get in a disagreement with. He clucks his tongue, the sound exceptionally loud, despite the constant announcements of eliminated numbers. I don't hear mine, 89, but Nikolai doesn't have a weapon like the rest, so maybe he has to do it himself. Meaning, if I escape, I can resume my hiding game and look for my brother. I swear I'm going to be so cross with him about this mess. Nikolai circles his forefinger against my forehead, and then he seems to wipe something. His movements come to a halt, and his body remains so completely still, I cease to breathe. The hostility and thirst for blood that emanated off him subside, or more like, they lessen in intensity, no longer tightening his outrageously ludicrous muscles and bulging biceps. Although he's crouching, his height and broadness are unmistakable. At 6'3", I'm not short by any stretch of the imagination. But Nikolai has an inch or two on me, and he's ridiculously pumped, with more muscles than anyone needs. But then again, he seems like the archetype of a sadist who gets off on inflicting pain. However, that doesn't seem to be the case right now. The flood of violence that he exuded in threatening waves a few seconds ago has been replaced by something a lot more morbid. Amusement. No. Curiosity? Interest? His finger falls from the mask, but before I can release a breath, he suddenly wraps his hand around my nape, near the hairs I constantly assault. Maybe it's because that area is particularly battered and sensitive, but the moment his rough skin touches mine, a flood of what I assume is nausea threatens to spill from my gut. Only, it's not nausea. It's... Nikolai barks out laughter that echoes around us in a swell of burgundy and hot red orange.
There you are. I've been looking everywhere for you, 89.
2. Brandon. You know who I am? I have no clue how the words tumble out of my mouth, in a sickeningly unsteady voice, I might add. Tick. A crack appears in my outer walls and extends to the ground beneath me. Tick. The black hole widens. Muddy black ink swallows my feet until I can't feel them. Tick.
Should I?
The rumbling gruff of Nikolai's voice sounds sinister, reinforced by the splashes of blood on his neon mask. I've been in a constant state of hyper-awareness ever since he crowded my space. But that's not right. This isn't how it's supposed to be. A puff of breath heaves out of my constricted chest, and, with it, my inhales and exhales return to normal. I'm thinking too much, as usual. I need to get back to working out or painting my calming nature scenes so I'll stop this vicious cycle of red on black. Or, more accurately, black on dead gray. I can't think. Thinking leads to fucked up images that I'd rather leave in the unremarkable shed of my barely beating heart. Nikolai sinks his fingers into my nape, digging into the skin until I feel him instead of see him.
The answer is yes, preppy boy. I should know who you are, shouldn't I?
A wave of rage tightens my muscles, and I let it wash over me as I fall into it. Rage is better than nausea. Rage is certainly much more welcome than the doomsday ticking my brain practices like an orthodox religion. How dare he talk to me in that mocking tone? I'm Brandon King, and that last name means something in this world. But you don't. Without your papa's last name, you're nothing. The voice rolls in like sandpaper on glass, leaving a dry, scratchy feeling at the back of my throat. I swallow the sudden rotten taste and force myself to calm down as I slap Nikolai's arm. He doesn't move, not even one inch, as if his brute fingers are now an extension of my nape. Let go, I say, or more accurately, order. I'm nice and pleasant until someone oversteps, which Nikolai has been doing with flying colors since he surprised the shit out of me.
In a hurry to go somewhere?
More like I don't appreciate being touched, especially if the hands are filthy. He stares at his free palm under the slowly setting sun that casts an orange glow on his haphazard jet-black hair. He glances at the dried blood as if he forgot it was there and lifts a casual shoulder.
You'll get used to it.
Get used to what? Is this freak high or something? I wouldn't be surprised if he snorted coke like a 90s rock star and smoked more weed than Bob Marley's fan club before this damned initiation. Let go, I repeat in a firm voice and push at his arm with all my strength. He loosens his grip but doesn't release me. An appreciative hum falls from somewhere in his throat.
Bossy. I like it. But you know what I like more? Your posh little accent. Question, does it sound the same when you say crude things?
I narrow my eyes. What on earth is wrong with this twat? Did someone hit him upside the head? This is the third and final time I'm telling you this. Let go.
Why?
He strokes his fingers near my hairline, and that wave of something that's not nausea courses through my veins in flashes of bright yellow.
I rather like it here.
I don't. I tighten my muscles against the morbid unease flooding my bloodstream. You disgust me.
Yeah?
His eyes, the color of midnight blue sky, twinkle with pure sadism as he leans closer and murmurs.
Even better.
His warm breaths skim the side of my neck. My jaw clenches, and it takes everything in me to ward off the discomfort that's still not nausea. Not in the least. The sensation spreads from where his fingers glide over my nape and ends at my earlobe, where he whispered, I need out of here. Now. I reach to the ground behind me and grab the first object I find and then haul it square against his face. He looses his hold on my neck, and I don't wait to see his reaction as I jump up and sprint behind the bushes. Fast, not looking behind. I run as if we're in overtime during a game, and the team depends on me passing the ball to the attackers. It's me against the screwed-up notion of time. It's always been that way. The sense of apprehension is replaced by a shot of adrenaline and the inherent need to escape. Far, so far. A dark figure nearly slams into me, and we both skid to a halt right before we crash into one another. Red Mask. He's carrying his bloody baseball bat and watches me as if I'm an insect that crossed his path. The rush of adrenaline slowly dissipates, and a tremor spreads in my limbs like wildfire. Stop shaking. Stop shaking, you damn weakling. Stop! I nearly manage to crack the sudden sporadic emotions, but disgust lurches from my stomach to my throat faster than I can blink. The distinctive smell of alcohol, cigarettes, bergamot, and the stench of metallic blood envelops me, No. 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 I glance behind me. My eyes clash with Nikolai's darker ones. They're more unhinged than a witch during a pagan funeral, bloodshot and filled with the promise of drawing blood. My blood. Not allowing myself to think about it, I walk in Red Mask's direction. He can hit me with that bat for all I care. Maybe I'll be lucky and will lose consciousness and, therefore, can remove my brain from this situation.
Look, I caught a stray cat.
Nikolai's rough voice sounds like the trigger for nightmares.
He just wouldn't stop running, you know, and has a temper. Threw a whole fucking branch at my face and nearly knocked me out. Gotta love the motherfucking feisty ones. They're so fun to break into pieces.
I stride to Red Mask, who studies me up and down and then lifts the bat. Finally, it's done. It's over. I'll go back to a world where I don't cross paths with these wastes of human. A heavy weight lands on my back, and I flinch as a strong arm wraps around my neck and nearly crushes my windpipe. I can't breathe. I can't. Survival instinct kicks in, and I elbow Nikolai with every ounce of energy I have left. He might as well be a wall, because not only does he not release me, but he also tightens his grip. Panic stiffens my muscles, and I push with feral strength and bite him at some point. But Nikolai doesn't flinch. He drags me behind the trees, my feet scraping the ground, and I open my mouth to call for help, even if it's for another damned heathen. Nikolai slams another hand on my mouth, digging the mask against my lips.
Shh. I'm gonna need you to shut the fuck up.
My words come in mumbled, haunted sounds, like in those creepy horror movies where the nerd dies first. That's me. I'm the nerd. In a last-ditch attempt, I throw the entirety of my weight back. My muscle mass doesn't compare to his, but I work out a lot. I run, too, more than should be humanly allowed. Nikolai loses his footing, and I dart to my right. But the world is pulled from beneath my feet. He tackles me to the ground, and I land on my stomach. A massive weight slams against my back, and Nikolai is on top of me like a brick wall. I cough, straining, and my deep inhale forces me to breathe in tiny particles of dirt. My lungs burn, and I realize it's because he still has me in a chokehold.
A fucking fighter. Jackpot.
His voice echoes like the dark ink from my fucked up nightmares.
Fight me more. Do it harder, stronger, faster. I want the fight.
I tap his arm twice, wheezing and gasping for breath. I get lightheaded and spots of yellow and orange spark behind my heavy lids.
No fight.
He sounds disappointed.
Fine. Guess you can't if you're being choked. If I release you, will you behave?
My short nails scratch the long sleeves of his shirt, and he hums.
Though I'm fine with the status quo, I rather like this position.
Humiliation rushes through my bloodstream like poison, as the feel of his body crushing mine registers faster than the lack of oxygen. His chest covers my back, and his knee is jammed between my thighs. His entire weight spreads over me, and he's so damn heavy. I press myself against the dirt, as if that will help me escape him. A dark chuckle erupts in my ear as he loosens his grip enough for me to breathe. He makes no move to release me or push the hell off me, though. I inhale cracked breaths and cough at the sudden rush of air.
Anyone ever tell you how fucking hot you feel when struggling for control? I could swallow you alive and leave no crumbs.
The last sentence is whispered against my earlobe, and I nearly retch. Out of my skin. Out of my fucked up brain. I don't know where I get the strength, but I elbow him and crawl from beneath him faster than he can blink. Once I'm on my feet, I start to run.
I take it you're not worried about your brother?
I come to a halt and slowly turn around. Nikolai is on his feet, arms crossed and head tilted to the side as he watches me nonchalantly. Only, there's nothing nonchalant about him. The twat could only be described as mental.
Heard he's into a lot of shit. Landon, I mean, he's the reason you're here, right?
My eyes widen behind the mask. Are you the one who sent me the invitation?
And you didn't disappoint. Brother love for the win.
I storm toward him and grab him by the collar of his shirt, hauling him so close his chest collides with mine. Where is he? His hand shoots up to my hair and he grabs a handful, pulling at the roots until my head snaps back. Then he peers down at me.
Where do you think?
My grip doesn't loosen on his collar. I don't care if he's crazy or downright insane. If he messes with my loved ones, I'll be his worst enemy. Don't make me repeat myself.
Why? What will happen if you repeat yourself? I'm kinda curious. And by kinda, I mean I have to know. Now.
You... I cut myself off because his mask scrapes against mine. His breath bathes the plastic in my lips.
Hmm? What? What am I?
He asks with an edge of lunacy, like a child ghost in a haunted castle who keeps repeating himself in a distorted voice. I shove him away and he stumbles back, letting go of my hair, but like an elastic band, he bounces right back, invading my space and crowding me. He's much more looming and intimidating in person, and I don't even get intimidated. Stop! I place both hands up, and the bastard bumps right against them, his muscles flexing beneath my fingers.
You still didn't tell me what I am. Go on, don't leave me hanging.
He grins, the motion looking savage behind the bloodied mask.
Is it something good or bad? Either? Neither? Both?
Just stop! I have to keep all my strength in my hands as he pushes and wiggles against them like a damn bull. The sound of his tut echoes in the air as he finally quits trying to glue his chest to mine. I still keep my hands up, not trusting him to discontinue his frantic movements. I can't help noticing how taut he is, like a wall. His pectoral muscles twitch beneath my fingers, and I drop my arms to either side of me, chasing away the haze and the strange taste of adrenaline. When I speak, my voice is calm, collected, in control. Landon, where is he?
Fucking dull preppy kids,
he mutters under his breath, then turns on his heel and marches in the opposite direction. I stand there for a few seconds, my breathing condensing on the interior of the mask. Then I follow after, my legs feeling weightless and completely foreign, as if they're no longer an extension of my body. Are you taking me to him? I ask, when I fall in step beside Nikolai. He whips his head in my direction, and I have to suppress a cringe at the sight of blood. It's not a view I'll ever get used to, no matter how long I try.
If I do that, what will you do for me?
He asks with that glint that I swear was muted not 2 minutes ago. Not report you to the police for your illegal activities, though you should consider a change of hobbies to something less violent.
But where's the fun in that?
Being normal for once.
Is that spelled boring?
He gets close and I step to the side, narrowly escaping his shoulder bumping into mine. Back off.
Ah, fuck. I want to defrost that layer of control you're wrapped in and see what lurks inside the preppy boy.
My teeth clench, and I release them slowly, so as not to trigger the sensation I've been coexisting with for most of my life. I'm not a boy.
Whatever you say, posh kid.
What the hell is your problem?
Me.
He points a thumb at himself.
You seem to be the one crowded with issues, boy.
My nostrils flare, and my hand balls into a fist. You have issues. Lots of them. You don't want to be a disappointment. Nikolai tilts his gaze to my hand, bouncing off his heels as if he's waiting for a Christmas present.
What are you gonna do with that? Punch me? Just so you know you might get disgusting blood on your pretty hands.
The urge to hit him snaps my muscles into a tight knot, but I force my fingers to uncurl. I don't do violence. Ever. This crazy wanker won't be changing that.
No. Bummer.
As fast as they sparkled, his eyes become muted again, turning into two orbs of black. Black on black. Black on. I briefly close my eyes to chase away the clouded thoughts. When I open them, I catch a glimpse of Nikolai stalking into what looks like an annexed house. I didn't notice it earlier during our walk, too focused on the bastard and his unpredictable behavior to watch where the hell we were going. Against my better judgment, I slip in behind him. Not that I have a choice. Nikolai knows where Landon is, and I need to make sure my twin brother is safe. The interior looks far simpler than the outside, clean and clinical, but the white walls are smudged with dirt in places. The decor consists of a leather sofa and a table against the wall, and there's a door to what appears to be a storage closet. I stand at the entrance as Nikolai throws his weight on the sofa, arms flung on the back and legs wide apart like one of those macho guys who think they own the world. He beckons me over with a forefinger, and I snarl behind my mask. And I don't even snarl. I don't run away or elbow or scream for help, either. And I've done all of the above this evening, thanks to this bastard. Do that again, and I'll break your finger. I deliver the threat with calmness and a smile. He probably can't see it, but fuck it.
Get your ass over here if you want to see your brother breathe another day.
My shoulders tense, and I take careful steps toward him, each one echoing a louder than necessary sound. It isn't until I'm within arm's reach that I realize he's crowding the sofa that should fit at least three people. I'm still contemplating his sheer size when a noise spills from my lips. A startled, funny noise that feels foreign as it scratches out of my throat. But I don't focus on that, more concerned with the reason behind said noise. Nikolai grabs me by the wrist and hauls me over so fast I land on him, my chest crashing against his and our masks bumping. The assault on my senses is much more prominent this time, as that stupid glint rushes to his previously muted eyes.
Well, hello there. Lovely of you to finally join the party.
I bite back a curse as I attempt to get up. Nikolai lets me, but then I make the mistake of turning my back. Brutish hands land on my hips, and I stifle whatever noise that's trying to escape. A curse. It was definitely another curse. And it doesn't matter that I actually don't curse. Nikolai drags me down and my ass meets a hard surface. His thighs. What the? Panic dashes in my veins, and I start to get up, but he pushes with enough force to knock my bones against his.
Stay fucking still, unless you're in the mood to take care of the boner you're giving me.
My face falls, figuratively, of course. I'd pay money for it to disappear, literally, indefinitely. I try again, needing to escape the wanker. But before I can move, he wraps his arm around my waist and spreads his palm over my stomach.
Someone has nice abs.
Stop touching me and throwing out sexual innuendos. I hiss under my breath, sinking my fingers into his arm and pushing. I'm straight and have no interest in your weird nonsense. He chuckles, the sound reverberating like a symphony gone wrong.
You don't say.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
I don't know. The fact that you say sexual innuendos, maybe? Such a preppy boy.
What? Whatever he has to say is drowned out by voices and the shuffling of feet outside. Green Mask stalks in from another door to the right that I didn't notice, and I stiffen. The situation I'm in registers quickly, and heat rushes to my head. I'm sitting on a random guy's lap. Me. Brandon fucking King. Yet I remain completely still, not wanting to draw attention to myself. I'm wearing the mask anyway. If I stay still, you won't look at me or notice me. My jaw nearly hits the floor when none other than my baby sister rushes through the door, her cheeks red and her demeanor flustered. Glynn stares at me and I feel as if I'm being stripped naked, free-falling from the sky without a safety net. I lower my head, staring at my feet, and soon that dark, inky water swallows them whole, creeping up my calves and to my knees. Veiny, like tendrils, strap around my flesh in a vice, pulling, gripping, plunging me into the endless hole. Down, down, down.
She's gone.
A chilling voice whispers in my ear and I jerk. The black ink slowly dissipates, and I lift my head to find that Glynn and Green Mask are disappearing out a third door to the left. I release a puff of air, but it gets stuck in my throat when Nikolai strokes his hand on my stomach. It's over my shirt, but it's like he's scratching at the surface of my skin, nearly peeling it off the muscles. A burn erupts at the pit of my belly and rushes to the rest of my limbs.
Such a responsible brother. First you came here because I made up a story about Landon, and now you're worried about your sister. We have something in common. I like it.
My head spins, mostly due to his breath near my ear, his hand on my stomach, and his rock-hard thighs underneath mine. Then something he said comes back to me, and I narrow my eyes. You made up a story about Lan. He lifts a shoulder.
How else would I have gotten you here? On my lap, I mean.
A volcano of rage splinters inside me, and I want to punch his fucking stitch mask so bad. So bad. But I don't, because I don't do that. I use the energy to push against him and spring up. Take your nonsense away from me. Far away. That glint flashes again. But before I can find out what type of absurdity he's planning, Jeremy walks through the door Glynn and Green Mask disappeared through, holding his orange mask and a bloodied club. He's only second to Nikolai in broadness and unpleasant facial expressions. But where the asshole behind me is outwardly loud, violent, and generally obnoxious, Jeremy is the calmer version. The type who appears collected, but is in fact as notorious as his precious idiot friend. He's scowling now, seeming lost in thought, as he throws his club on the ground and runs his fingers through his damp hair that's stuck to his nape.
Jer!
Nikolai jumps to my side and wraps an arm around my shoulders as if we're mates.
Meet 89. Pretty sure he's the only one who made it here, and therefore can be a member of the heathens.
Jeremy lifts his head and takes in the scene for the first time. He was so lost in his own head that he didn't even notice us. He cocks his brows at Nikolai, then narrows his eyes on where he's grabbing me. I flash the crazy bastard a death glare that he lets roll off his bloodied mask as if it was never there. He's high. Must be. There's no other explanation for why he'd think the twin brother of Lan, aka his worst enemy, should join his precious club's ranks. Or why he'd possibly think I would. Now that I know Lan isn't in danger, I have no reason to tolerate his distasteful presence. I shove his hand off my shoulder, not bothering to hide my contempt, and turn around and leave. No, I run. Far away.
3. Nikolai. Kolya Jr. has been an adventurous whore since he got his first boner at the fresh age of 5. It was such a marvelous discovery when I found my then wiener hard that I giggled with glee. Then I proceeded to run all over our house, dangling, pointing, and showing it off to anyone who crossed my path while shouting, "Look, I have a gun!" Dad laughed his head off. Mom looked like she was going to either throw up or burst into flames. Good times. For me and my dad. Definitely not for my mom, since she was covering my twin sister's eyes, ushering them inside, and telling me to get my weenie back in my pants. I pouted as I muttered, "But my weenie really likes the air." Mom looked at the sky, probably to the invisible big bro up there, and when that didn't work, she directed her gaze at the actual semblance of a real god in our lives. My dad. After he laughed his ass off, 5 out of 5 senses of humor on that man, love him, he helped me pack a pouty Kolya away, and sure as shit my dick had every right to be offended since his first show was put to a non-consensual halt. Dad told me that I actually couldn't use my wiener as a gun. At least not yet. See? Told you that man has the best sense of humor, as expected of my dad, and stripping in front of my baby sisters is a no-no. He also said that stupid rule where I couldn't be naked all the time. Fucking social restrictions and all that bullshit. At any rate, that was the official birth of Kolya Jr., or Kolya for short. Kolya happens to be the Russian diminutive form of my name, but it's rarely used, and only by my very Russian grandfather who snarls at the reality that Niko won the nickname battle 100-1. And no, my grandpa doesn't know I actually call my dick Kolya, or I'd need to revoke my Russian card. And that's no fun. I breathe vodka. Anyway, ever since that boner incident, Kolya has become the sluttiest, most adventurous cock anyone would ever meet. He's resourceful, to put it mildly, and a flat-out whore, if we're being fucking blunt. Part of his extended arsenal is being easy to satisfy. Give him a willing hole, and he's weeping in joy. Literally. So imagine my goddamn bafflement when he woke up today and chose the silent treatment. I presented an especially sexually frustrated Kolya with his favorite flavors, at the same time. A dick and a pussy? Fucking jackpot, if you ask me. After the initiation, I got back to the heathen's mansion and shot 3 of my contacts a text to come and worship at Kolya's altar. All 3 of them replied, "So what the fuck?" A foursome sounded like fun. So I told them to come the fuck over, and they did, stacked with weed and booze, and 1 was chewing on a blue pill. Not sure you're supposed to chew on it, but I couldn't be bothered and gave him vodka to help, with digestion and shit. Don't ask me how I know these 2 guys and the girl. The girl is from school, probably. Again, don't ask what happens at school. I'm studying business there, but I've barely attended any classes since I've been at college. As long as I keep my GPA up, thanks to my superior genes, nobody cares, me included. The 2 guys, anyone's guess. I happen to attract a lot of attention. Might have to do with Kolya's extravagant magic cross piercing that many swear made them see heaven. Or hell, depending on their kink. Also, it might have to do with how unbothered I am by any request. Once, a girl was like,
"Choke me, Daddy."
And I nearly killed her. In my defense, she didn't specify how hard I should choke her, so I went with the flow being maximum violence. Another guy sent me a text saying, "Are you looking for a doormat? Because you can step on me any day and I'd bend over and take it." So I did just that, and stepped on him. What? He asked for it, and I kid you not, he jizzed all over my room. Then he did bend over and took it. Fun times. Last night, however, most definitely was not. It was so far from fun it gave me fucking whiplash. I had 3 sexy-as-fuck people at my disposal, and Kolya was playing hard to get like a virgin motherfucker, which he's not. For the first time in my 19 years of life, I couldn't get off. Not when they offered their mouths, holds, and everything in between. In fact, I wasn't even motivated to release Kolya from his least favorite confinement, my pants. They soon forgot about me and turned to one another while I watched, sitting on the stairs and nursing a bottle of good old vodka. It was a threesome of epic proportions that started with making out, sucking each other off, and both guys double penetrating the girl and fucking her senseless until she nearly passed out. At some point, they pushed her aside. Viagra Boy clearly couldn't get enough, so he bent the other guy over, fucked him, then nutted in his ass. Or I think he did, because that's the point where I fell asleep, at the bottom of the stairs. If that doesn't tell you how desperate Kolya's state of no fun is, I don't know what would. Not the sleeping at the bottom of the stairs part, because I swear to fuck my body can only lull itself to sleep on anything that isn't a bed. It comes with my head's fucked up state of mind. This is about the not participating part. Usually I'd be all over that shit. And in retrospect, bringing the beautiful queer energy out of everyone, there's a reason why people say yes whenever I shoot them a text. I'm a guaranteed source of crazy fun. Last night, not only did I not fuck my way through multiple holes, but I was also bored, completely and utterly indifferent. Like I was earlier when the professor was about to give me head. Hot bombshell with luscious lips and everything. Kolya was almost hard, but didn't want her lips anywhere near his goddamn annoying presence. Fuck. I walk through the door of the mansion after school and stop in the entrance hall, tug my t-shirt over my head and throw it down. My necklace that Dad gifted me jostles free, and I stroke the bullet that hangs from it before I let it fall to my naked chest. There, much better. People should be thankful I wear pants. Fucking prude society can use a chill pill. I have a beautiful body and I would rather show it off instead of keeping it tucked away. The same applies to my monster cock. I'm usually hella proud of Kolya's size and porn star level performance, but today is not it. I narrow my eyes on the half tent in my pants. The fuck is wrong with you, motherfucker? Is it all the fucking? No, hell no. That's what he thrives on. It's why he chose to be completely cool with any hole, endless options and all that. Maybe I should extend those options. But to whom? I've been literally fucking my way through any and all of the population available at my disposal. Let's rewind. What could have happened to trigger Kolya's silent treatment? He's been caught in this strange stage where he's about to grow a boner, but never exactly gets there. Yesterday morning I was coming all over an ass and a pussy. Or was it two asses and a pussy? Anyway, I was a bit high at the time, so who knows how many. What I do know, however, is that Kolya was definitely pumped up for the highly awaited event, the initiation. Punching people to near death, holding power over their insignificant existence, fucking ecstatic. Kolya was most certainly feeling himself and had the night of his dickish life, especially after a twitch rushes to my groin and I pause. He was feeling himself more than usual when a reluctant, uptight, preppy boy was gliding his firm ass all over him. Oh no. I glared down at my pants. Fuck no, you fucking fuck. He twitches again as if saying, fuck yeah. The fuck are you? A masochist? He said he was straight. Told you to keep your nonsense away from him as if it were an insult. My dick doesn't understand insults, since he has the moral compass of a used condom and remains standing at attention like an eager kid in class. You need to get yourself fucking checked, dude. Preferably by an exorcist so they can get those demons out and shit. Now that I think about it, when I was falling asleep, I wasn't seeing the hot threesome, but the up and down of a gorgeous Adam's apple as he flinched, jerked, and swallowed thickly. Fuck me sideways. Kolya is definitely hard and in the mood now. Maybe if I get him the same flavor as the three from last night. He flops down so fast I curse his goddamn maker. It's me, I'm the maker. Fuck you, right the fuck off, motherfucker, I mutter. I don't fuck with straight guys. At all. Many of them have fragile egos and macho manly energy that pisses me off and propels me to sudden, impulsive violence. I prefer queers who are comfortable in their own sexuality. Like myself, thank you very much. The only time I hover near a heterosexual man is if he's a lost, bi-curious lamb who wants to experiment. In that case, I make it my mission to take him to heaven. Like an angel did to some prophet. Don't ask me what his name is. I can't even remember mine half the time. Brandon King does not belong on any of my lists of interest. He's too uptight and closed off, not to mention standoffish and arrogant. His entire existence should give me a serious case of erectile dysfunction. Jesus fuck. That guy could use a chill pill. Or a few. In fact, someone should shove the entire bottle down his throat and make him choke on it. Fuck him and his back off and stop touching me. I'm straight. Like fuck he is. He nearly bounced on my cock, and he sat there so prettily while I was nursing an erection of epic proportions for a whole 5 minutes. Not that I was counting or anything. Or maybe I was, to prove his theory. Straight my ass. Or his, to be more specific. Pun totally intended. I should note that during that time, his sister walked by and he nearly lost his marbles, which is probably why he remained frozen for a long period of time. But I digress. I'm completely uninterested in his mythical straight battle. Fuck that right the fuck off, if you ask me. The reason I invited him to the initiation was solely to mess with his twin brother, the major asshole who leads the preppy kids in the elites and thinks he could go head-to-head with us. A few nights ago, Landon and I fought at one of my favorite places on the island, the Fight Club. I was so pumped to pummel that English prick to the ground in front of his wannabe fans. But then Brandon showed up and stood there like the prince version of his brother. I admit that I lost concentration because he looked so fucking agitated at the prospect of Landon being beaten to death. And I also admit Kolya appreciated the view. He's hot, and it's different on him than his show-off, in-your-face brother. Brandon has a quieter presence and carries himself in a total golden boy fashion. Slick brown hair, groomed face, tall and slim frame, but muscled. Yep. Don't let those preppy clothes fool you. Asshole has abs. All six of them. I counted them yesterday since I had nothing else to do with my hands. I would have preferred to let my hand go down a more fun path, but I doubt grouchy Brandon would have been thrilled. Anyway, stop sidetracking. Now, brain, I mean it. I almost lost that fight because Brandon got in the way. Side note, I don't usually get distracted during fights because of this lame reason, I assure you. So, naturally, I had to mess with Bran the way he dared to mess with me. And it so happened that the initiation was coming up and I couldn't miss that chance. Since he was so concerned about his idiot brother, I made up a whole drama about his participation. It was a shot in the dark. I really thought Brandon wouldn't fall for it since he's this major snob who looks down on people like me from his high horse. Imagine my fucking surprise when he walked right in like a lost lamb. A straight lost lamb. What I didn't expect was his subtle aggressiveness and hints of submissiveness peeking from beneath the mask of rigorous control that he wears like a second skin. From the outside looking in, he seems too boring and snobbish and like he could use some drugs. Maybe a mixture of them would help loosen up the layer of asshole wrapped around him. However, something changed when he was put under pressure. His body trembled, and he struggled to hide behind his mask, literally and figuratively. My dick jumps at the memory of him remaining as still as a statue on my lap. I don't think he noticed it, but he had both his palms flat on his thighs like a well-behaved prince. But then he left before I could convince the others to add him to our club. Not that they would have agreed, and Jeremy looked fucking horrified when he found out his identity, but oh well. I just wanted to toy with him a little. Use him against his brother if the shoe fit. Maybe destroy his fantasies about being straight in the meantime. I've never played around with straight men, but this was too tempting to pass up. Blood rushes to my groin and I mutter, "Fuck you, you fucking fuck. You need help." "You need help, Nico." My cousin Killian brushes past me on the way inside, accompanied by his brother Gareth and my best friend Jeremy. They must have finished school and come back together, which I should have probably done as well. But, oh well, I forgot. Jeremy stops a few inches away from me. He's an inch shorter than me and definitely the most muscled after yours, truly. He's a few years older, but he's been my best friend for as long as I remember. I might have pestered him for it, though. He pushes his dark hair away from his face and narrows his eyes. "Nico, please tell me you weren't talking to the invisible people just now." "Of course not. I was having a very frustrating conversation with my dick." "That's even worse." Gareth shoves my shoulder and